Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we come once again in your divine presence and in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, asking for the presence of your Holy Spirit. We need the holy angels that you sent from above to minister to those of us who are to be heirs of salvation. Hover around this place. Keep back any distraction, any interference, that your word will not find a lodging place in our hearts. Let the Spirit move deep within the very fabric of our being, that our heart would be poured out to you to reciprocate the love you've given to us, that we might rightly represent you here in this messed up world, that our light connected with the source of light will so shine, even individually, it will pierce the dark corners of someone else's soul, that they may see that light and glorify you. Put your words into my mind. Speak through these feeble lips, and let us return unto you a surrender heart for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mind Cure, Part 2. Mind Cure, Part 2. Let's see if we have that on the screen. Is it on the screen there? Very good. That's all right. It's good. That was our opening text. That's been a text since we started evening. Let's read that text together. What does it say? We have discovered, at least it has been imparted, that there's an intimate relationship between health and salvation. Do we understand that? Health is not an appendix nor an option. It's an integral part of the plan of salvation. Now, the reason I say that, we don't have time for just to go through that, but if you look at, just and you'll put down a note, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. That deals with the fruit of the Spirit. You understand? Now, in those fruits, you'll find what? Love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, long-suffering, faith, meekness, and what else? Temperance. You get it? Those are fruit of the Spirit. There's no way we can say, well, health is just something we need to talk about. That is a fruit of the Spirit, which is an attribute, a divine attribute of God. No one can live out these health principles without the power of God. What do you think about that? We have discovered that God is the one who has made us. And as we continue to just impress this upon our mind, we deepen the impression of the heart that we do not belong to ourselves. I don't have to say that over and over. I'm speaking to the choir. We know that God has rightful ownership to us. Amen? He's given us an owner's manual. What is that owner's manual? It's the Word of God. This is where I began my journey 40 years ago on my knees. This is where I learned the principles of health. And then when I was blessed with the books of the Spirit of Prophecy, it just was like, excuse the expression, icing on the cake. It just solidified that. Solidified that. God's plan, new start, Heartland, no matter how you spell it, it still go back to the eight laws of health. Are you with me? Eight laws of health. This is the key. This is the key. Sacred laws, which any of us can live out by God's grace and share with other people. Eight doctors. Eight doctors. You remember I shared with you, life is not like a what? What you got to do? Oh, see. We have become so spoiled with this technological society. You can lay on your couch, lay in your bed, and flip. And it has become so ingrained in our mind, therefore we can just change our lives with a flip. No, God did not make human beings like that. He's given us a will, faculties to use. Faculties. Mind Cure. Let me quickly go over part one. I'm not going to get into all of part one. But if you can see this a little bit, like I said, our font don't gel with these computers. But God has placed eternity in our hearts. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 3:11. What does it mean? He placed eternity. That means God put into your heart, my heart, to spend eternity with him. That is a motivating factor that God's name will be glorified. That motivates me. That motivates my goal. Remember? Three D's. Anybody know the three D's? Destination. Direction. Decision. All right. Got three or four people listening. That's good. That's all right. I know sometimes you get a little embarrassed. Let's repeat those three D's again. What does it say? Destination, direction, decision. My destination, your destination is reached by the direction you take based on the decision you make. How many understand that? That means every decision that you and I make is not so much retiring from this world in a sense of going fishing. We want to retire out of this world. So my destination is reached by the direction I take based on the decisions I make. Does that make sense to you? This is a template through life. That means once we have a definitive goal, everything flows from that definitive goal. Everything else is peripheral. As Christians, we have to really have homesickness in our heart. We have to have the desire that God's name need to be vindicated. That's what drives me. Every decision I make, if I'm a single person, I'm talking about marriage, if she or he doesn't fit in the destination, I must acquit. I don't care if he's tall, dark, and handsome, if she's 36, 22, 36. I don't care what it is. If it does not fit, anybody listen to me? That simplifies life. It does. You don't be looking. Destination. Keep that in mind. Very important. Therefore, what's that destination? Turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, chapter 3, 13 and 14. Our high calling. Here's the destination. Philippians chapter 3, 13 and 14. Remember Paul said, I forget those things behind. You remember that? Then he said in verse 14, I press what? Towards the what? The mark of the high calling. Now listen to this. Where is the high calling found? That's what the scripture, it says, the high calling in where? In where? Read the text. You say in the Bible, read the text. Come on now. Where is the high calling found? In Jesus. Keep that before you. The high calling is found in Christ Jesus. Keep that in mind. The destination is found in Jesus. One little statement. High calling. Higher, I read this before to you. Higher than the highest human thought can reach is God's idea for you and I. Godliness. Did you hear that? Harvard, Yale, Oxford don't teach that. Hello out here. Only places like Heartland, a Meat Ministry, those places, not knocking those institutions, but we talk about not a PhD. I tell you this, you do need 3 degrees. You do need that. BA, MD, and a PhD. What do you think about that, Michael? BA, born again. What do you think about that? MD, made in the divine image. What about your PhD? Praising him daily. You get those 3 degrees, you are qualified. Are you with me? Because if you don't praise God, you go down like a band of mourners. They got to be joy from the soul of Christ, radiate from your heart. Higher than the highest human idea. Godliness is the goal to be reached. When you leave here, focus. My goal. Godliness. We heard from Dennis Priebe all through it. By God's grace, we can have the mind of Jesus. Wow. I do not want my mind. I don't want it. It's not good. You hear me? It's not good. Ministry of healing. Everybody got ministry of healing now? Because my friend got it from Heartland. If you don't have it, you do not leave this campus without getting that book. It's worth it. Take that popcorn money and buy ministry healing. All right. The relationship, Michael, that exists between the mind and the body is what? Very intimate related. You cannot separate it. I don't have to spend time on that, but I want to go down. It says here, the condition of the mind affects the health to a far greater degree than many realize. Follow me. Many of the diseases which men suffer are the results of mental depression. What else? What else? And so on. What do they do? All ten to break down the life forces and to invite decay. So I gave a little definition of those terms. Grief is what? Emotional suffering caused by a disaster. Could be a calamity. The house could have been hit by a tornado. Are you with me? A car accident, etc. Unfortunate outcome, sorrow, anxiety, apprehensive of uneasiness of mind, worrying. I read somewhere it says that worry kills 100 people where work only kills one. I'm going to say that again. Worrying kills 100 people where only work probably kills one. Discontent, a sense of grievance, dissatisfaction. You know, I have a lot to complain, especially those who are taller than me. I have a lot to be discontent. Airplane seats, if you don't fly me business class, especially if I fly from here to Australia, and people want to come back. See, I have probably about 3 feet of legs, short torso, a lot of leg. I got a lot of complain about. I go to Thailand. I remember carrying my suitcase, just going through the door. Doom. And it's not wood. It's concrete. I got a lot to be discontent. Bed too short. I got a lot to be discontent. Are you listening to me? I complain all day long. Bed too short. Door too small. Airplane seat not wide enough. Discontent. Let's move on. Remorse, distress arising from a sense of guilt and self-reproach. What does that mean? Blame who? Yourself. Beating up yourself. That's right. That's right. It's like beating yourself with the whip. Beating yourself. When you confess your sin, God says it's faithful and just to do what? Then he said to Jeremiah, I remember them no more. Now, my God does not have amnesia. Once they are confessed by faith and given, he does not bring it up to you. He does not treat you as you deserve. Are you with me? Now, when we forgive people, you say, I forgave him, but I remember what you did to me. Come on, talk to me. That's going to produce stress. I forgive you, sister, yeah, but I'm watching. I'm not going down that road. You know that. You get burnt once, you don't get burnt twice. It is a risk loving like God loves. Do you hear what I just said? I see it on her face. Look at it. It is a risk. My wife and I going to church one Sabbath. Turtle. He stopped right in the middle of the street. I stopped. I said, honey, that's a lesson right there. That turtle cannot go anywhere until he stick his neck out. Anybody get what I just said? Yeah. Come on, talk to me. If he doesn't stick his neck out, my friend, he's going to stay there and eventually going to get ran over. But he got to stick his neck out with the risk. He's going to get cut off. But in Christ, you don't have to worry about that. It's a risk loving like God loved. Loving giving without expectation. Are you getting that? And only God can produce that. in us. Amen. To love my wife giving without her saying, honey, I really appreciate that. Honey, that's not why I do it. Because more God produced that love in my life and those fruits shine, she can't do nothing but love back. Love God. Are you with me? Yeah. I don't have to correct her. People say, my wife not loving me right. Well, you love her right. Hello? Come on, talk to me. My children not acting crazy. You don't act crazy. Come on, talk to me now. Bible says in Romans 12, 2, and be not conformed to this world. Read that with me. But what? Be ye transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. That ye may what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the mind, keep that in mind. Got to be renewed. Remember, 9/10 of disease are what? Just a review. 9/10, that means 90% of all diseases. 9/10 of diseases from which men suffer have their foundation here. Right in the mind. That's a lot of diseases. When people come to our center, my first understanding, even though when I sit down and talk to them, when I get an opportunity, I understand what's behind the cancer. I understand what's behind the diabetes. I understand what's behind the heart disease. Yes, that might be some lifestyle, but I know it's right here too. I know that for a fact. I've seen that in 40 years. When this is straightened out, everything's going to flow as you eat right. I said, if you eat the best vegan raw food in the world, if that mind is in balance, that food will rot in your gut. It's not going to do any good. So you don't want to cast the food away, cast the exercise away, but the mind is very important. A great deal of sickness which afflicts the human has a root origin in the mind. Notice what it said. Read this with me right here. What it said? Heart what? Makes what? Many what? Dyspeptic. That means stomach problem. Did you get that? For mental trouble has a what? Paralyzing influence upon the digestive organs. Without a functioning digestive system, the best food, I said, is not going to be metabolized. A mental attitude. That's why when I'm in the cafeteria, I see my workers. You know how you all go to the cafeteria with your cell phone. You know, cell phone. People sit at the table. There's a group of people sitting at the table. We just say, where's the fellowship at? Now, people come to my house, they're not bringing no phone to my table. No phone to my table. Hey, face to face, talk to me. I know you get upset when people talk to you because the phone don't talk back. Talk to me. Anybody with me here? Now, since we don't do newspaper, some family, the husband be there with the newspaper at the breakfast table or with the computer. No. The mind, communicate. These help. We need the interaction. God is a relational being. You know, at the table, you know, by the side, let's take our face out of the Facebook. Put it in the real book. Then let's have face to face. A face answer of face. Follow me. Far too little thought is given to the causes underlying the mortality, the disease, and the degeneracy that exists today, even the most civilized countries, such as America. The human race is deteriorating. Now, this is just a review on that. I already talked to you through Genesis 3, 7 through 14, how mental illness originate. You read that for yourself. I'm not going to go back there, but I put up what took place. Remember? Shame. What else you think took place? Anybody remember anything? We got isolation. You remember? Isolation means you separate yourself. There was fear. What else? There was guilt. Denial. Blame. That's right. And then there's self-preservation. Now, we can pull out. This is not speculative. This is not exaggeration. That is what actually took place when Adam and Eve separated from the God. And even the family became dysfunctional. Do you understand what I'm just saying? Amen. the family became dysfunctional as a result of being disconnected with the source of love and joy. To the degree that one of the sons killed the brother. You see the chain reaction. So a disconnection with God definitely going to disconnect our minds. Open up the floodgates for Satan suggestions. That's the start of mental illness. That's the start. Listen, I share with you, the physician needs more than human wisdom. You remember that? He needs connection with God. That's all that said. I'm not going to read all of that. In order to lead his patient, Jesus' healing method, he never focused in on just one aspect of the person. You read throughout history, he said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Is that what he said? "Wilt thou be made whole?" In Matthew 9, 1 through 8, we see the healing method. Be of good courage, mental. Thy sins be forgiven thee, spiritual. Pick up that bed and walk, physical. All through scripture, you'll see Christ's method dealing with the whole person. Are you following me? Any work for the Lord, you cannot just give physiology only. You got to deal with the spiritual. You got to deal with the mental. They are inseparable. Inseparable. Part two, with the mind. Romans chapter 7, verse 25. We do not serve God with the fingers or the toes. We serve God with the mind. That's why the devil targets the mind. The mind. This is the battleground. This is where the great controversy is waged. The will. Who has your will determine your destination. The person with mental problems, that person still. Now listen, because maybe the message is too simple. You say, how is this going to work? When people have mental illness, the protocol is always medication. But we just read, if the physician is connected with the true source of power, he becomes a channel. Do you believe if we use God's method that God will supernaturally intervene? Do you believe that? We got to recognize we are living in the most important time of Earth history. As Elder Preview bring out, we're in that generation. No other generation like this generation, even though we're coming to the very end of darkness. But this is a generation that darkness, that stars will shine. We can expect God to do what he said we're going to do. All I need to do is use his plan, be connected with his power. He can do the same thing he did with those demoniacs. He can handle paranoia, schizophrenia. He can handle bipolar. Are you listening to me? Mental disease is not beyond God's healing power. He needs somebody he can trust. Download his spirit. Am I making sense? So even though the presentation said, oh man, that's simple, we got to understand we must allow God to use us. It's a battle going on. A battle. You remember, I share with you this. There, that Christ Galley, Christ room. God want to write his name on our foreheads. Amen? Now, we're not talking about literally writing on that forehead, but that forehead is that frontal brain, front brain. Right there, Christ Galley, Christ room. It is the forebrain that God desired to sit on his throne in our soul temple. There's a bone in front, in the front part of the skull called Christ Galley, Christ room. This is Christ's room. The inner apartment of the soul is where God originally inscribed his law of love. You remember I showed you a picture of the sphenoid bone, like the covering cherubim overseeing that room. Wings, sphenoid bone, represent angels hovering over the sacred ark. God wants to set here in order for mental health to be realized. It's not Prozac that brings that about, or Zoloft. Christ got to sit there. Somebody got to be connected with God to point that soul to Christ. That's what they're going to take. The frontal lobe, the crown of the brain. A healthy frontal lobe produces a healthy life, place of judgment, reasoning power. Scientific study shows that the frontal lobe is the seat of spirituality, morality, and the what? Will. Right here. That's where God wants to control. We find the frontal lobe and the will. One of the frontal lobe's most vital functions is the will. What is the will? Come on, what is the will? Power of choice. Now, let me ask a quick question here. I do not need for us to go into a dissertation. Do we have willpower or power of the will or both? I'll say it again. Do we have willpower, power of the will, or both? All right. The majority said both. What'd you say?
I'm saying both.
You saying, oh, you say both. Okay. Everybody say both? All right. Let me make it simple. Now, we know we have the power of the will. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
All right. Do we have willpower? Is there a difference between power of the will and willpower? Anybody read some book called Norman Vincent Peale? When I was coming out, I wanted to be rich. You know, power of positive thinking. I read all those motivating books. And I found out, according to the world standards, I flunked the richness test. I didn't get rich. Not according to those books. God has given us mental faculties. You agree with that? The ability to think.
Yes.
All right? Now, if I have willpower, all I need to do is use my willpower to stop sinning, use my willpower to correct my behavior. What do you think about that?
No.
You said I got willpower, so I need something else with my willpower. See, I'm confusing you. I'm going to move on. We have the power of the will, the ability to think. But we need willpower. We need God's power to actuate the choices we make. Now you understand what I'm saying? We have the ability to think that God gives. We have the ability to choose. But we need power, supernatural power, because sin is supernatural. You can't will that out of existence. You get what I'm saying? So we got to align ourselves with the will of God. We need His will. We need to give our will to Him. Am I making sense? That's your and I biggest struggle. We are still determined to do our own thing. Important to understand that. Hebrews 8:10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after the days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them in their hearts. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to my people. God said, I will do it my good pleasure. I will.
Amen.
Hello out there. The mind. The mind, and especially the emotions, are among the most powerful of influence which affects the body. I'm not going to read all this, but listen to what it says. It said, what was once speculation, this comes from a secular writing, has now been firmly established. A fact, a healthy body cannot be divorced from a healthy mind. Now, we've been knowing that for years. What do you think about that? Science is just now catching up with that. And now we applaud in science, but we should be the head and not the tail. All right, we go on. It says here that emotional health, it can be said with certainty, it is an integral part of our overall wellness. Yet many people continue to neglect the emotional health and damage their physical health in the process. Stress caused by unresolved emotional issues, for example, remains one of the leading contributors to illness. What do you think about that? Unresolved, not coping. God does not give us coping mechanism. He gives us power to overcome. People say, well, I'm coping. Well, I'm hoping you stop coping and get connected with the power. I don't want to cope with life. I want to live by God's grace a victorious, fruitful life in this messed up world that God's character can be revealed. What do you think about that? God do not have coping Christians. He has victorious Christians. He has fruitful Christians. What once was speculation has now been formed. All right, we're going to move on. This was written almost in 1950s statement. Dr. Cannon of Harvard University. Certain emotions poised in the body has shown that what? Hate, envy, scorn, jealousy, fear actually create poisons. Did you hear that? Poisons. Physiological poison. But powerful, that's misspelling, toxic substance which poisons the life stream, the blood. And under their influence, the body weakens. All the life processes are disturbed. A person who lives under fear or under the shadow of any depressing emotion seems to shrivel up. He grows old prematurely. Worry kills 100 people where work only kills one. Worry, keep that in mind. Repressed, toxic emotion. Repressed, suppressed, unexpressed emotions. Impression does not lead to constructed expression, leads to depression. Impression that does not lead to constructed expression leads to depression. You internalize it. You bottle up. You hear what I'm saying? Thank you, Captain. Get what I'm saying? Impression. If there's something on your mind, especially with people, you get prayed up, then go, let's talk about it. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. You walk around it, and that night you ruminate over it, and you be in your mind, that person sure did me wrong. But you go to everybody except for that person. You go to the internet, put it on Facebook. I'm telling you it's true. I saw a thing on Facebook. I said, why was that on Facebook? Why didn't that go to the person? Or it was a public sin they did. Facebook? Come on, church. You go to the person. Matthew 18. Don't go to no internet. I just got through counseling some folks like that. Go put your garbage and your stuff on Facebook. Everybody looking at Facebook. What goes in the home and the family, let's keep it in the family. Let's get it straightened out. I'm not gonna hang out my dirty laundry on the Facebook. If I have an issue with you, I'm coming to you. You don't hear me? God said, bring another. You get what I'm saying? Come on, Google babies. Impression that does not lead to expression leads to depression. Yeah, I call it the Google generation. It's a linkster. You know, you got the traditional, you got the baby boomers. You know what I'm saying? The millennials, the Google. Our students come there. They have research to do. You know, we're in a bad position because our internet strange where we are. And the student said, where's the internet? What you need internet for? To do this research. I said, son, well, I was doing research. I went to the library. I got the books. Then the Google babies, if they're going to Google, they come to you. And if you give them the answer, you become the Google. Come on, talk to me now. Turn them to the books. I'm telling you, we got a different generation. God trying to make them with minds. Listen to this. A thought held long enough, repeated often, becomes a belief. What do you think about that? That's true. You know, when we feed our mind with the Word of God, you ever seen a pasture of cows? You ever seen them going back and forth? You don't see two or three different pathways, do you? You see one path that's been trodden down. You seen that? You seen that? See, the brain's that way. Grooves. The more you expose yourself to a word, it put grooves in that brain. You see, two thoughts cannot occupy the same spot. You got to empty and fill it with the Word of God. Thoughts. And like I said to people, I said our prayer life, a life of crisis. We pray only in crisis. What do you think about that? If we have constant communion with God through prayer, and when a crisis comes, an issue comes, it's not a crisis. Because you already have a natural tendency. Say, Lord, here it come. Put it down. You don't panic. You're not in a panic mode. Anger, the most toxic emotion. Suppressed anger is probably the most toxic emotion of all. Physiology of suppressed anger leads to poor behavior choices and poor health. We need both mental and physical action to remedy this toxic, doctrinous neurochemicals that build up in the brain when anger is suppressed. Anger. The brain has a chain reaction. Stress response. I remember when we first bought a piece of property, one piece of property in Tennessee, when the Lord gave it to her. And my friend, it was 45 acres, a friend of mine. You know, I used to be a basketball player. Everybody know that. My friend, a little shorter than me, he was on my left side. We're walking, checking out the place, and I'm city boy. Grass out there, tall weeds. Through my peripheral vision, I see something black moving. And as I was coming down on my right foot, it was two black snakes intertwined. And I was coming down on my right foot, and as I came down, I saw it. My friend had to tell you this. In a standing position, I went 3 feet in the air. That was not the end of the story. I projectile myself another 6 feet. I have not done that in my basketball days. Adrenaline. That's serious. I know you. Now, I'm not going to get on this camera and this lie spread across the world. He thought I was bionic. That was that adrenaline. You know what I'm saying? Fight or flight. Adrenaline. And the body unleashes a flood of hormones that causes significant damage. Now, that was only momentarily. You follow what I'm saying? Once I landed away from the snake, then it calmed down. Relax. But say if that is constant heart attack. Diabetes, you name it. Are you with me, ladies and gentlemen? Even though we're eating good vegetarian food, but toxic emotions, brain function sufferers, can cause practically any disease, including arthritis, ulcers, cancer, high and low blood pressure. The list goes on. Anger is our emotional security system. When someone or something invades our emotional, physical, spiritual boundaries, we become angry. But few people know how to deal with their anger in a healthy way. Angry behavior do little to address the root causes of this primary emotion and may, in fact, perpetuate them. 1 minute of anger suppresses your immune system for 6 hours. Then you come to Heartland Lifestyle Center, come to our lifestyle center with an angry attitude. Then you want some herbs to take. You want some hydrotherapy to take. And that's not going to solve that problem. That's why you got to connect the spiritual and the mental. That's why you continue to teach mental health in that health center. 1 minute. But on the other hand, 1 minute of Christian joy and laughter improves it 24 hours. That saving help, healing flows from the throne of God. You can change your anger attitude right now. Hello?
Amen.
Lord, I'm an angry person. I'll give it to you. As simple as that. Give it to him. Give it to him. And replace it with your joy. Even after I speak. You don't have to wait after this meeting over. That can take place at this moment. My God, your God, is not an evolutionist. He's a creationist. He speaks the word. What is depression? Let's move on. What is depression? I'm going to skip some of these things because it's too much detail. I want to get to my final point. But depression, this tells you, can have recently faced obvious emotional trauma, but still at least 5 of the 9 symptoms for at least 2 weeks. That means here through this study, it said that if you're experiencing deep sadness, apathy, agitation, sleep disturbance, weight or appetite changes, lack of concentration, fatigue, also feeling of worthlessness, morbid thoughts, for at least in a period of 2 weeks, you could be going into depression. That's all it's saying. That's what we bring out on that DVD, I know we're out, called Mind Cure, 3-part series we did. If you don't have that, order that tape. The cause, which I knew not, I searched it out. Actual cause, it could be decreased in activity of the prefrontal cortex. That could come through many reasons. Loss, low brain serotonin comes from the foods we eat, outdoors exercises, etc., that affects our mood swing. Insufficient dietary tryptophan. A lot of folks go to the health food store and buy tryptophan. The body can produce that. Low omega-3 essential fatty acids. That can become, all these things can come into the diet, into the natural laws of health. Do you know that? You don't have to spend thousands of dollars to have this take place. Folic acids, such depression, atherosclerosis, buildup arterial occlusion. All this can be remedied following the 8 doctors. All this can be remedied. Now, you can't copy all this down, but it's on the tape. I went through the spirit of prophecy to look at things that will contribute to depression. That's all this is. You see 1T, counsel of health, anxiety and perplexity, idleness, jealousy, lack of appreciation from others, lack of genuine religion, overwork, anticipated, that should be a T down there, anticipated wants, reviewing past failures, just ruminate, past failures, I didn't make it, I can't, oh. The devil just, he is sitting there having a field day. Rebuke that demon. Get him out of there. Debt. Yes, debt. The borrowers, the lender the servant to the lender. Debt. Sickness. Tea. Caffeine. Suppresses the serotonin. Wipe out iron. Erroneous doctrines. I told you about that. Erroneous doctrines. We got to be sure we're on solid grounds. Family problem. Fiction reading. Fiction reading. You know what fiction reading is? Harry Potter, all of that stuff. Remorse for sin. Impact. I want to move on. I can stand all day. I can stand all day. Impact. Effects of depression. Increased risk of return to addictive behavior such as drinking. May cause chronic headaches. Cause osteoporosis. When combined with stress, increased risk of HIV progressing to AIDS. Some of the things here. Increased chance for the offspring will suffer depression, physical and medical problems, predisposition. Increased rate of decline in physical ability. Decreased CDR, we're dealing with immune problems. Suppresses your immune system. Very important to understand that. Risk factor. Genetic tendencies. Early puberty in girls. Do you know the average puberty age for girls in the United States now? 8 years of age. You're absolutely right. That means they are now in a position to have babies. That comes through dietary and stress. 8 years of age. They still playing with Barbie dolls. Huh? We live in a world that is deteriorating. Out of phase circadian rhythm. That's what can happen to any of us. Travel, stress, the electrical current in the body, get out of phase, like shut down. Shut down. Huh? Grandparents who raise their grandchildren. I really was blessed with my grandchild, but it should have our daughter, a professional woman at the time, trying to get together, and my wife became surrogate parents. He's 21 today. We got him when he was just a little baby, still on the paps. We didn't breastfeed him. We made brown rice and sunflower seed milk for him. 21, 6 feet tall, healthy, loves the Lord. But we cannot take the place of those parents. Never. And the Lord is just mending hearts. Thank God for grandparents, but still, we have to build that child relationship as much as possible. Maybe the parents, absentee, gone. But we'll never take the place of biological parents. Risk depressants, smoking, alcohol, in adolescent, not living with two biological parents. Sexual abuse contributed to that. Severe sexual abuse will produce that. I'm gonna move forward on these things. I want to get to my last part here. Each year, estimate 30,000 people commit suicide. Depression. Depression. Now, you have to get the tape because I'm not going to keep these 10 on real quick, but there's 10 tell signs of depression. Number one, do you feel like crying more often than you normally have? Do you feel sad or blue most of the time? When you see yourself in the mirror, do you appear to be sad or do others comment that you do not longer, you are no longer seem happy? Number two, do you feel frequently a sense of hopelessness? And it's helplessness. Do you think that nothing matters or that nothing will do any good? Does the phrase, what's the use, comes to mind frequently? Number three, do you have less motivation and interest in activities, hobbies, work relations, have you had previously? Number four, has your sleep pattern changed? Do you find yourself unable to sleep at night, struggling with restlessness that leaves you tired in the morning? Do you have trouble getting out of the bed, wanting to sleep all day? Number five, it says here, have you had thoughts recently that life is just not worth living? Do you wish God would just take you home? Number six, do you dread the beginning of a new day, the anticipation of your responsibility, decision, and meeting with co-workers of others? Number eight, have your eating patterns changed? Have you lost your appetite? Is even favorite food no longer of interest? Are you eating much more than you previously? Did you perhaps even an excess intake of junk foods, sugars and candies and things of this nature? Number nine, do you have less energy than usual? Are there other physical symptoms that differ from the past, such as frequency of headaches, upset stomach, constipation, rapid heartbeat? These are just signs of depression. And number 10, do you feel that you are not functioning as well at work as you have in the past and that others are beginning to notice this? 10 tell signs. That's all on that DVD. 10 tell signs. Does God have a plan for healing the mind? We can say, amen, he has. He made you and I. We just have to access that plan. Remember Obamacare? Remember that? But God has a better plan. You know that, don't you? What is it called? Obamacare. Let's go back now. Obamacare. Are you with me? Obamacare is here to free that mind from the hands of the adversarial soul. You don't have to be in a certain category, age, color. All you need to do is say, Lord, I need your help. He has a plan. Obamacare. The 8 doctors that make house call. Hello? 8 doctors. I know you've heard this from Harlan, from us. You have to let this resonate. Do not be so prone, I need to take something. Go down and say, Lord, am I, by your grace, adhering to these principles? If they're not working for you, it's nothing I can do because those are God's principles. They work. They work. I know they work. They work. Christ's invitation, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your soul. Let's read verse 30. What does it say? For my yoke is what? And my burden is light. Did you hear that? God said, my yoke is what? Easy, and my burden is light. You see, it was Christ's mission to bring to men what kind of restoration? He came to give them health and peace and perfection of character. Ministry of Healing, page 17. Our Savior words come unto me. It says here, though men have brought suffering upon themselves. Have we not? Oh, I know I have. By their own wrongdoing, he regards them with pity. In him, they may find help. He will do great things for those who trust him. No matter what you have messed up, it does not change the disposition of God's attitude towards you and I. We got to run to the stronghold with faith, truly with heart, surrender to him. And my God, your God, will do what he said he would do. He would do it. Here we go. I'm coming on down. I want you to get this as we wrap this thing up. All of our trouble in our heart stems from what I'm getting ready to say. This is fundamental to all of us. We are students of the word. What I'm put up here is not new to you, but let it become with clarity. You remember that? Familiar truths will burst like bright light with greater clarity. God is what? You know what that love is? Remember, God so what? He did what? That's what you call, listen, benevolent love. God's love is a giving love without expectation. Do you hear what I just said? Especially when you have a relationship. You do something for your wife or your husband, you have expectation. Don't you? Come on, I know you do. If they don't say thank you, I love you, ooh, that affects you. But when we connect with this source of love, that won't affect us. We'll keep loving. We keep loving. I'm not saying you're going to be an abuser, but I'm saying if there's not a response there, that's not your problem. Your problem is submitting to God and let him love through you. And the fruits come from. He or she got to see those fruits. Say, wow, what's going on in our life? That's what brought my wife into this faith. We both came out of the world, we were religious, but she knew there was things that had changed in my life, my attitude, and what was on our mind. She was not interested in coming to join this movement. She was coming to find out what has made this change in this man's life. And as she came to see and investigate the word of God, whoo, there she was, in the arms of Jesus. Are you listening to me? She came with a curiosity just to find out what is changing this man, because she didn't know what kind of person I was. The fruit that God will bear in your life is not for you. Amen. Be for somebody else. Amen. To partake of. Christ Object Lesson, page 64. I say it again. Christ Object Lesson, page 64. The object of the Christian is fruit bearing. The perfection of Christ's character, that it may be reproduced in other people. Fruit bearer. God is love. For the Father himself loves you. John 16, 27. This is going to be a key as I move forward. We got to understand God loves us. Calvary testified that. The Father loves us. It goes on and says, yes, I've loved you with an everlasting love. 31:33. We have slapped God in his face. We have said, crucify him. But it did not change his love. He broke his heart because we rejected. They rejected that gift. But God is love. That's the essence of his love. He don't change. He cannot change. There's no variableness. For the Lord is good. And his love endures. Love is what? It's durable even to Calvary. Amen. That love was nailed to the cross, but it endured. Keep that in mind. I'm talking about that love now. Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. I'm the youngest out of 8 children, and my mother, maybe my wife said I was spoiled, so be it. My mother loved me. I know that for a fact. My father was nowhere around. She will fight a bear for a baby son. I know that for a fact. She will go down for a baby son. And God said, surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. Are you listening to me? That's love. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hand. As Brother Preby brought it out, the only person, he will ever keep humanity, the only one that walked in that new earth, new heaven, is Jesus Christ with scars. The only one. No more hip replacement for you. No more glasses for you. No more migraine headaches. No more scars where they took your appendix. We'll be scar free. But he will ever bear the scars. Love. 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 June Hunt said at an auction, how is an item worth determined? Only by the highest price paid. Jesus paid the highest price possible. He gave his life to give you life. This priceless sacrifice established what? Now, I want you to keep that in mind. It established your worth. That's very important. As I come down, very important. Calvary. Calvary is a revelation to our dull senses what sin does to the heart of God. Calvary testified, he loves me more than I can imagine. The Lord God of heaven collected all the riches of the universe and laid them down in order to purchase the pearl of lost humanity. The Father gave all his divine resources into the hands of Christ in order that the richest blessings of heaven might be poured out upon a fallen race. God could not express greater love than he has expressed in giving the Son of his bosom to the world. This gift was given to man to convince him that God had left nothing undone that he could do, that there is nothing held in reserve, but that all of heaven has been poured out in that one vast gift. God, help us to understand that. Help us to appreciate that. Calvary represents this crowning work. It is man's part to respond to his great love by appropriating the great salvation, the blessing of the Lord has made it possible for man to obtain. We are to show our appreciation of the wonderful gift of God by becoming partakers of the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, we are to show our gratitude to God by becoming a co-worker with Jesus Christ, by representing his character to the world. In great mercy, the Lord has rolled back the thick darkness from before his throne that we may behold him as a God of love. Behold him. Behold him. God is love. Love, definition, selfless, other-centered, passion, chosen devotion to the well-being of others above self. You getting the definition? A score, you remember tennis? Of zero, as in tennis. Zero, they say, love. To hold one's self in a zero position due to high value placed on someone else. That's true love, not sentimentalism. That's why, by God's grace, my marriage can work, because my expectation is of the Lord. My expectation is not of my wife. It's me and the Lord. I must place zero value on myself above the interests of my family and the work of God. That's all I need to do. God is what? Isaiah 43, you read it, 1 through 7. It tells you, everyone that is created, everyone that is called by my name, for I created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. The Godhead. That tells us God is relational. Amen? Relational. Huh? It tells us we were created with the capacity, follow me now, to love and to be relational like our Creator. Do you believe that? It's coming down. We've been created with the capacity that God's love can flow from us to someone else. We are relational. Even though if you are introvert, you are shy, when you submit to God, that introvert will disappear. It has to. Amen. Ain't no way you're going to live in a vacuum. I don't care how shy you are. Let God download you, his spirit. Watch him. Go back. The object of love, write this down. I'm going to talk through it because the time is going. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 to 23. The object of love. Write it down. I'm going to put a triangle up here. God at the top. Is that all right? Now, to your left and to my right, we got Adam over there. Huh? Right in the middle, we got the word alone and lonely. You got that? Over to the next one, we got Eve over there. God, Adam, Eve. God said it's not good for man to be lonely. Okay, I know my time is up. I know you're going to sleep on me. God said it's not good for man to be alone. He didn't say lonely. God did not make Adam and Eve at the same time. All right. Therefore, he says alone. Therefore, God is relational. He brought two people together for them to fulfill his will. Are you following me? Keep that in mind. Now, God, in creating Adam, he downloaded to Adam all of his plan, all of the information. The government of God was downloaded to Adam. The patriarchal system was downloaded to Adam. God downloaded to Adam. I brought this out before. Adam was not alone. He was lonely. I share with you, which created a little controversy in the minds of some folks, but that's all right. Just study this thing out. He put Adam to sleep. Amen. Did he not? At least you agree with that. A deep sleep. But I am telling you, I am not just proposing, not that the fact that Eve got the same information, because Adam was the head. That was very clear. That's why we shouldn't even worry about, well, I'm getting ready to get into theology. Get that. But just stick to the word. We'll find out about headship. It's clear as day to me. So Adam was put into deep sleep. You know that. And I personally believe, as I told one of my friends that challenged me, that God, every individual on this planet Earth, God is personal. Your identity, your emotional security, your affirmation is not predicated on a relationship with another human being. And I would say that to God, put me to sleep or translate me. That is what's causing dysfunction in young people and in family, because they're looking for other to define who they are. I'm telling you, that creates emotional depression. That's why young people will get with young people. I did when young, get with the group, because I want to be somebody. I want to be accepted. I want security. That's why in Chicago, California, have some of the largest street gangs, because they want to belong. They want the security. Are you getting me? That they did not find. That's why they join gangs. I know what I'm saying here. God, as he gave to Adam, he also gave to Eve three basic needs. We'll talk about that. Now, I'm going to share this. We'll build on later, maybe some other time. He made Eve where? From what? What's the purpose of a rib? Well, we know that he didn't get it from the foot. That'd be by his side. But maybe now they might say I'm speculating, but, you know, a rib protects. It protects the heart, the lungs. Eve is a type of a church. Hello? Adam is a type of Christ. Would you say so? We have been created to protect the heart of God. You didn't get that. We've been created to protect the heart of God by living a life with his character. Sin pierced God's heart. Eve received her. Three inner needs. We all have been given these three God-given inner needs. What's the first one? What's the second one? What's the third one? Love. To know that someone is unconditionally committed to our best interest. What do you think about that? That's love. Someone is committed unconditionally to our best interest. Huh? And some of us, I know I experienced that with my wife, love. I truly believe my wife is unconditionally committed to my best interest. Sometimes it's too so much interest, I begin to feel the pressure myself. She'll grab the person, hey, it's all right. You need a little rest now. I'm going to take him away now. Take him away. If I'm preaching, she'll tap the preacher on the shoulder. Now, when he leaves out, you be sure you go to another room, get some rest. I mean, I know when I was lying there, no life in my body, they took pictures. And that's what touched another. She holding my hand, stroking my face, kissing me, just holding with hope. I know, committed unconditionally, there is such relationship that can exist like that.
Amen.
Significance, to know that our lives have meaning and purpose. Huh? Talking about mental health. And thirdly, security. To feel accepted and have a sense of belonging. Is that resonating with our hearts? All our behavior stems from that. If you see erratic behavior, if you see your children, men, if you are fathers, I said this before, Psalms 144:12, daughters are cornerstones to be polished after the similitude of a palace. I have a daughter. And in all my busy life trying to, you know, be great in the world, there was neglect in her life. There was estrangement, bitter estrangement. But I thank God restored what the cankerworms had destroyed. That relationship become like nothing never happened. Why? Because she changed? No. My father taught me how to be a father. And as my wife called, she said, Dad, we got to go on our date. We rent a cabin. Dad, I need some counsel. That's what it's all about. We can put food on the table, house on the table. That's good. But you got to invest in that girl. Because if the father don't invest in that girl, she's going to go to another man, then another man, then another man, then a baby come. What's she looking for? Love. Significance and security. Anybody get what I'm saying? That's so important. So important. Three A's I put in. Adoration, affirmation, acceptance. That's what God downloaded. That's what God wants you and I to experience. That's what he wants us. At the heart of our behavior is an attempt to get our legitimate needs. You hear that? Met illegitimate. To get our legitimate need meant illegitimate. Anybody understand what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
That's why people go from one person to another person. They looking for something. They say, I'm in love. You ain't in love. Here you are into adulterous affair. You're looking for legitimate needs illegitimately. Then we'll cast them out, but we need to counsel. We need to let them know that's what you're missing. You're missing those needs, and there's only one place you can get that. You get what I'm saying? Keep that in mind. Every behavior, erratic behavior, is a result of these three needs. Why did God give us these deep inner needs, knowing that people will fail people? For example, some parents are harsh, cruel, and abusive. While every person has been created with these three inner needs, no person is able to meet all our three needs. Follow me now. Realize that if one person could meet all of our needs, we wouldn't need God. Now, God does use us. We become his hands. We become his feet. Hello? But that means we got to be connected with God, that he can download to our children, to our wives, to our husband, to our church members, to the one who hates us, the one who destroyed your reputation, that is like water off a duck back. And you don't ruminate. You don't react to that, because your heart go out to that person because you know they are empty. And you just become the object of their frustration. Am I saying something to you, all right? Follow me now. The Lord planned that he would be our need meter. The Apostle Paul read, oh, wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from this body of death? Then he answered his own question in a strong way, Jesus, our Lord. Jesus, our Lord. All along, the Lord planned to meet our deepest need. People fail you. You say, man, I'm having a trial. No, I'm not. God letting that trial to reveal to you that you're looking in the wrong place. Amen. You got to look to him. Love, significant, and security. Very important. Got to quit. Sometimes the Lord will meet certain needs by himself. And other times he will use other people as what? As an extension of his care and compassion. That's why medical missionary work is a revelation. Gospel work is a revelation of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, a ministry of compassion. You get it? Very important. Trust in God. God is our refuge. As we close, this is what I want to do. This is last meeting part. I never know when I might even see any of you or we see one another. My experience a year ago is sobering to me. As I stepped off that plane that day, who would have told me, no signs, I would not wake up no more till later on? And as I told you, when I woke up and when God unfolded to me with clarity, the disposition of this heart in 40 years. And God honored what faithfulness I have. But he spared my life because he wanted to bring me to the point where my life is truly fruitful for his glory. I just personally believe that I wouldn't have made it into the kingdom. My admonishment, exhortation to you today, you don't have to leave this campus and say, I'm going to go and pray about this. Today. God loves us. You've been in this world too long. The killings, destruction, property, lives. And we as a people have been entrusted with the solution I mean the solution. It's not in the election. Most of our conversation is over Trump and Hillary. We spend more time now talking about Trump and Hillary. They're only doing what God's permitting. We should be lining ourselves up with the sovereign of the universe, because we are a people. It has nothing to do with your aptitude, degrees, the attitude that he can use us, any one of us. I was telling some of the older women, older brothers, one brother I shared with him, and he was said, if I can just get my hip placed, I'll do mighty work for God. I said, Paul had an infirmity in the eyes. That did not stop him from doing the work for God. Psalms 91, I believe, 91, it says, even in your old age, you can bring forth fruit. Amen. Do not let infirmities be an impediment for you to bear witness to God. In your weakness, you become strong. Amen. Oh, definitely. I have some residual effects of that death experience of mine. Oh, yes, I do. When vital forces zap, though I'm walking and talking, there's some residual fear. I'm very mindful of that. I know what I used to be like. I know what I am. I carry some infirmities in this body. But I know one thing, that God want to take this frail body of mine and make it as precious as gold, that his name may be sanctified in this earth. I have an appeal for you. I have an appeal for you. It's very important. You see, God wants to give us that peace. Peace is not the absence of trials, but the assurance of overcoming them through the power of Jesus Christ. I want you to think with me as we go to the throne. When the outlook is bad, try to uplook. The events we call tragedies, setbacks, and failures are opportunities for God. We look at these failures and setbacks and we ruminate. It just engrosses our mind. But we know God loves us. He takes those opportunities and uses it for his advantages. He knows how to draw glory even from our ruin. The hour of deepest humiliation, when we feel defected and utterly disqualified, may be the hour that God uses us in unparalleled ways. Year of wasted effort may be the years when God plants an eternal harvest. Though we have fished all night, caught nothing, the great angler is still double baiting his hook. God brought the children of Israel out of darkness with treasures. The darkness in your life and the darkness in my life, God is working. And when he brings us out, we're coming out with treasures. Can you take that by faith? Don't leave here and say, it was a good meeting. Good time we had. Time is getting shorter. God wants to transform our troubles into what? Our problems into what? Our fears into what? Faith. That's what he wants to do. You know how pearl is made. Anybody know how pearl is made? Oh, yes. It's through the irritation of the sand. Sand irritates that oyster. And what comes out? A pearl. Voila. A pearl. A pearl. You see, we find that a pearl is a garment that encloses an annoyance. Did you hear that? All the irritation that Satan bringing upon you, don't even ruminate, hold on to it. Say, Lord, you are now producing pearls. When there's irritation coming in your life, when there's frustration coming in your life, you don't get on your knees and say, Lord, please help me with this irritation. No, give me grace so you can make the pearl. When the disposition of your mind changed to the point that God is working a mighty work in your life, I'm going to tell you, your circulation will just through 60,000 miles of blood vessel. It will run, flow through your body. I'm standing here because of that. Not because I got physical strength. Vital force was depleted from my body. I'm 68 years of age. And not the fact that if I hadn't had, I could have been stronger. But I know it's God's grace. I have to have an attitude by his grace. Amen. Of gratitude. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. The brain nerves communicate to our whole system. Keep that in mind. Very important. And as we do that, we got to feed this body. We got to feed it. Good food for the life of the flesh and the blood. Brain food, essential fatty acids, all those green leafy vegetables, whole grains, fruits. We need to say, Lord, here I am. Take this life. Clean up my diet as you clean up my attitude. You got to feed the brain. You got to feed it. You got to feed it. In order to have good health, you got to have good blood. In order to have good blood, you got to have good food. Hello? Amen? Yeah. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Out of it come the issues of life. Preserving the mind with a knife and a fork. Hello? You can develop a healthy mind with a knife and a fork. You know, you got places like this. Learn how to prepare good food, huh? What you eat. This is a list. Eating flesh foods, eating no blood or fat, refined sugars, alcohol, addiction, smoking, intemperance. When you give your heart to the Lord, people don't have to tell you, you need to eat right. Give your heart to the Lord. When you abide in Christ, he in you, the fruit of the Spirit going to manifest itself. And one of those fruits is temperance. You get one? Your fight is not, I can't eat this, I shouldn't eat this. Don't fight that. You have one essential task. Get into Christ as the Holy Spirit put you there. Maintain that relationship through the Word of God, through prayer, and sharing your faith. Maintain that. Erroneous eating and drinking results in erroneous thinking and acting. 9T160. Consider what you eat. Eat for strength. Brain food. Your brain needs glucose, carbohydrates, whole foods. If you don't get it, it's going to be a battle. When that brain is deprived of glucose, you're not going to think right. Are you with me, everybody? Let's learn it. Huh? Sugar, right? That's right. No white sugar. No white sugar. Yeah. Yeah. Fruits, nuts, grains, vegetables. If you're not there, God will get you there. But don't fight God. God got a high plan for you. We might be struggling with diet, but see the goal. God, give me grace to make the step. But make it intelligently. Intelligently. If you don't know, connect with someone. Here, connect intelligently. Don't let the devil destroy your frontal lobe. Don't let him do that. Whatever you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. Calvary. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. And with his stripes, we are healed. He has the whole world in his hand. What do you think about that? He got you in his hand. Got you. I want to pray with you. I want to make an appeal. Not just a general appeal. You let the God speak. I stand here just as a witness of God and know what the power of God can do. I thank him for bringing me from death to life. Amen. And my purpose for existence is to glorify the Father. And I know he cannot trust me unless I'm empty. You get what I'm saying? Unless I'm empty. I told you the three P's. Plan, power, the person. You remember that? God has the plan. Those scriptures tell you his plan. As we make the appeal, this appeal is exactly this. That we want to commit ourselves to God's plan for our lives. If you're not ready for it, I can understand. I want to pray for that. That, Lord, I want your plan for my life. I'm relinquishing my plans. Specific appeal, not just give y'all. I want to commit myself to your plan. I want to be recipient of your power. And in your power have all the resources that will enable me to fulfill your plan. That's what we're going to commit to. You listen to me? And then, this is what you need. Willing. You are the person out of those three P's. I'm the person. Willing to submit and commit to God's plan and to receive his power to carry out his will. Specifically, thy will be done, not my will. His plan. He's coming. God want to dwell in us. He's knocking on the door. Remove the rubbish. Open the door. A parachute won't work when it's closed. I told you that. It won't work. God said, open up the heart. It only works when it's open. Only works. Dwight L. Moody says, God sends no one away empty except those who are full of themselves. Anybody travel like I do? Especially when you have a lovely wife. I'm glad y'all didn't get that. That suitcase is filled. The pill, we want to come forth and bring an empty suitcase. We want to empty that suitcase of what? Pride. Selfishness. Jealousy. Unforgiveness. Hatred. Argumentative, temper tantrum. What do you think? Assuming yet never satisfying wants. We want to empty ourselves of that. Small-minded and lopsided pursuits. We want God to empty our suitcase. That's what the pill is. That's what I said to God when he woke me up. Lord, I come. Take all this rubbish. I'm yours. I come with an empty suitcase. If that's going to be you, that's what we want to pray for. An empty suitcase to be filled with what? Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Is that what you want? I know I want it. I'm experiencing that. So this afternoon, if you feel that need that only God can satisfy, I'd like to pray with you. I'd like for us to stand, come up, and kneel together if that's your need. And I want to pray with you. I want to really pray with you. I want to pray with you. For you as you pray for me. Please, brothers and sisters, please. Please trust your God. Ask him to help the unbelief. God is faithful. It's faithful.
Absolutely.
These tears, not tears of sorrow, but my God is faithful. And I said, God, your people must experience this. I don't think we have another 40 years with this. Today, you might have children's wayward, family troubles, but the only solution to that, as I submit to God, an empty suitcase that he can fill it with his spirit, and that the fruits that permeate from the very life of Christ fill my life. And that wayward husband, that wayward child, a wife, don't see an argumentative man or woman, don't say, you gotta do this. All you're doing is living it. No, I'm not telling you to be silent when you see abuse going on, but let that fruit pass through the counsel and the rebuke. You understand what I'm saying? Let Christ raise that up. I've seen it happen. You see that flag? You're standing here. I will assume with a flag. Surrender. That's what a flag means. That means I give up my right to control my life. I give up my right to use Satan's tools of hatred, unforgiveness, irritation, argumentative. That's what we're saying right here. I give up my right. Are you with me? I don't want, this is not formality. This is serious business to me. I'm just thinking. That day, I said to my wife, I said, honey, when I get off that plane, I said, how are you and I? You know, how are you and I? Because we could have been at odds. How was it? You know what I'm saying? That was a rude awakening to me. God said, he wants our hearts. I know we're standing. Do we agree with Christ? Christ here it is. And I would take the positive, definitive step. Can I read one more thing? My wife gave it to me. One more thing. I'm sorry. She read this. Listen to this. I'm going to read this. Great Controversy. Page 525. It says here, and bless her right in my heart, can't make sure. Oh, yes. It says, when the natural cooperates with the supernatural, natural, you and I, cooperates with the supernatural, it is a part of God's plan to grant us an answer to the prayer of faith, that which he would not bestow, did we not thus ask. Did you hear that? Now, we're not up here right now asking for more money coming to the coffers. You know that. But we're going to answer in the light of John 15:7. God said, when you abide in Christ and my word in you, you ask what you will, it should be done. Now, in the context, what God's will is that you bear fruit.
Amen. That's it.
That's what that statement's saying. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Amen.
That's what you're saying?
Amen.
We're going to pray then. Some cannot kneel, some can. So let us pray. Let us pray. If you cannot kneel, just bow your head. God knows that. Loving Father, our Creator and our Redeemer, Lord, it has been communicated by you through your servants here at this sacred holy convocation. The love that flows from your throne, the purpose for you creating us and placing us on this planet, that we, by your power, will rightly, correctly represent you in this controversy.
Amen.
That your name will be sanctified in us, through us, in the midst of an unbelieving world. Lord, I thank you for the response that you put upon our hearts here. I pray for every individual here. I lift them up, families. I pray for the young men and women who are to be the legacy of this work. Possess them with your spirit, Father. I pray for the leaders of this institution. Heavy responsibility. Great weight. Pray for the workers. I pray that they, leaders and workers, will learn that without you, this institution, any institution, can do nothing. Pray for Elder Preby and his family. I lift up my soul to you, Father. I thank you. I thank you for loving me in spite of myself. You didn't have to wake me up. I thank you for the prayers of your children. We know you hear prayers. You would not give us if we don't ask. So now, Father, we're asking that you will make us fruitful. And we know this only can be done through the pruning process, through your word. So give us grace to endure the pruning. Give us the Spirit of the living God that will possess our souls. And as we leave these grounds and those who remain, that your mind will emanate from us, that people will see the glory of God, that this earth will be filled with your glory, that your coming will be hasting. Help us to be true to you in the time of the investigated judgment. Now take us, Father. Take us as wholly yours. Abide with us, and we're with you. And let all our works be wrought in thee. Let all our plans be carried out or given up according to your divine providence. And as we leave, let us leave with the mind that we're going to touch lives on the way. Extend mercy to us as we travel. Extend mercy to this campus. And let your light so shine that men and women may see our good works and glorify with you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this hard experience. We present ourselves into your hands. We commit. We submit. We unconditionally surrender our rights to control, direct our lives. It's yours. Now use it. Teach us how to be devotional in our studies. Teach us what it means to pray, which is the key in the hands of faith that unlocks the storehouse of heaven. Let us be that candlelight. For Lord, you say, we are the light of the world. Help us to touch another life with your Spirit. And now here we are. Here we are, Lord. Send us into this dark, sin-cursed world to penetrate its darkness for your glory. In Jesus' name, we say, amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.